5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't ready. A trusted source for the news. Seven night for Allison, it is you.
I got a few words for you Bears fans. First of them, the first two are shut up. The second one is shut the fuck up. The final ones is no, shut the fuck up. The hiring of Matt Eberflus, please, I have no clue how to pronounce it, is a fine hiring. Secondly, and we'll get more detailed as we go into it, we are not going to bring back Lovie Smith in any shape or capacity. No, we're not going to bring back fucking Rod Marinelli. You're out of your mind. But none of that's going to happen. But the hiring of Matt Eberflus is complete. Well, the Bears, are the Bears officially announced it yet?
No, just they're probably getting contract details. Shit is just from Ian Rapp and Adam Schefter.
So we'll hear from the Bears, I'm guessing, by the end of the day. We'll get that official email of when it's going to take place. I wonder if they're going to say tomorrow and I have to rush my ass down to Hallis Hall. But either way, what you have long been waited for, what you have long waited for is coming true. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are gone, and we've replaced them with Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. Ryan and Matt left, and Ryan and Matt came back.
Ryan and Matt are still our football guys.
Which is hilarious because in Zoom calls, nothing much is going to change for me. I'm going to be like, Ryan, so Matt, it's going to be the same thing. So that's pretty, very, very ironic. But at the same time, Ryan Poles, who was high on everybody's list, was picked up by the Bears in what I thought to be one of their most efficiently done and best hires in quite a long time. It wasn't like Ryan Pace, y'all like, oh, okay. You know, he did do with the Saints, so he knows players. Whereas Ryan Poles had this rising star attitude, rising star aura on him for quite some time. So that was a good hire. And then we found out later, after he was hired, everything was under his control as to who he wanted to hire. It seemed like the three candidates were Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, Jim Caldwell, former Lions head coach, been out the league for a couple of years, and Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Colts. Now, Scott picked Dan Quinn. Scott was a Dan Quinn guy. Me, fuck no. Not even remotely. Jim Caldwell, Pierce took Jim Caldwell on the two-minute drill out now. Pierce took Jim Caldwell for the sake of taking Jim Caldwell. I'm not sure if he necessarily had strong ties to him. Me, I was on the Matt Eberflus train for at least the time that we found out that he was a finalist. None of these picks outside, none of the people available outside of like Byron Leftwich or Matt Dable, whatever you want to call him, really
sexy picks. Brian Flores.
You know, Brian Flores wasn't a sexy pick at all. The nigga stinks. Brian Flores is not a sexy pick at all.
He's just one of the big names that's out there.
Big names and sexy picks are two different things to me. I guess it's all opinion. I guess it's all about perspective. And so what I say is subjective and what you say is subjective.
But by the way, you're listening to 79 at the House. This is episode 195.
You know what you're listening to.
We might have some new listeners. You never know who the fuck is listening for the first time. That's why I like to do the intro for our casuals. This is episode 195 of 79 at the House. We appreciate y'all. This is Flo Scott.
Shut the fuck
at Barbershare Scott on Twitter, at Flo's and Lee on Twitter. And now you can continue with your spiel.
So there were no two true quote unquote sexy picks out there for me outside of Left with Jim Dabble. I thought those were like insanely great coaching hires because one, they've had multiple years of experience as offensive coordinators. Two, they led very good offenses as offensive coordinators. And those were probably one and two on everybody's list. Brian Leffridge was the person I wanted. Brian Dabble was directly next to him. But I always thought that was a bit far-fetched. And so the coaching tree shrunk a bit, and Dan Quinn's name was being tossed around. Leslie Frazier briefly was tossed around, but after that debacle, his name just sort of evaporated from every coaching list, thank God. It was Eberflus, and it was Jim Caldwell. Now, Jim Caldwell was coming back and wanted an interest in coaching again. And so I don't know if he was trying to test the waters. I'm not sure what he's going to actually do.
Well, Dan Bernstein said today that this was just outright picked by polls. It was that Dan Quinn and Caldwell both won the jobs. It wasn't that Caldwell jumped out or Dan wanted to stay in Dallas. It was just that polls picked Matt Eberflus just flat right out. And this was his pick because they said that George and Ted and Polian had other guys, and Pole said, fuck it, this is who I want. That's what Bernstein says.
I mean,
Cap kind of said the same shit too about this is, you know, the higher ups had nothing to do with this, is strictly Pole's call.
Well, then I like the pick. I trust Pope. I do not trust George McCaskey, Phillips. I don't even trust the committee. I like Soup. I like Tanisha Wade. But I also know that George McCaskey probably had the final say-so. So the fact that they sat back, you know, McCaskey, Polian, Phillips sat back and said, okay, pick your guy. I'm perfectly fine with the pickup. And I liked what Eberflus has done. Of course, Eberflus is a 4-3 defensive coordinator. And also he never really had the great personnel in Indianapolis that other coaches will have. He's had a top 10 defense every year he's been there. Takeaway machines.
Yeah, takeaway machine was something the Bears defense lacks. I think our secondary had two picks all last season.
On top of that, he is a linebackers coach at heart. So you saw what Darius Leonard has done as a linebacker. He's been one of the best in the league. Even though I'm not sure he's better than Roquan, that's another story. But you saw what he's been able to do with him. And now he's going to have Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn, I'm guessing, as hand-down defensive ends now. Yeah. You know, not worrying about being outside linebackers getting covered. Just going to be, no, shoot the gap or take your man out. I'm perfectly happy with that. 4-3, 3-4. I used to say, the 4-3 is outdated. You got to switch to 3-4. It just doesn't really matter. It really depends on how well players in these positions can cover.
It depends on personnel.
And I never thought, and most people would agree, Indianapolis never had that great of a defensive unit.
Yeah, they don't have I'm not saying the Bears defense got, quote unquote, that many playmakers, but
got much better rushers than
much better rushers.
Bears led the league in sacks. So
yeah, and I think Roquan is better than Darius Leonard. I think Roquan's the best linebacker in the league outside of homeboy from Seattle. But so I think that's going to mean a lot too.
So I am perfectly fine with the pick, you know, but you know what? I talk. What is your opinion?
This is my thing on both hires. I'm more high on Poles than I am Eberflus. I'm not going to act like I know too much about Eberflus. I didn't know too much about Poles up until, you know, like maybe 24 hours before he was hired. I did my research on him. And just the way that what I liked about it, outside of him being black, and I think it's great that two black GMs have been hired, not just the Bears and Emil Poles, but also, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but the Minnesota Vikings new GM. So it's good to see black folks getting those jobs. But what I liked about it was how, you know, he's been like a day one Chiefs guy. He's been there since 2009. He's moved up in the ranks each year that he's been there. He's worked through multiple regimes and multiple GMs. So it's not like he's just been one GM. He's there with Dorsey and he's there with the new GM now. And the thing that sold me more than anything when he was part of the recruiting team that scouted Patrick Mahomes. That's something that's not like the Nagy, he called plays. And this is why you know, the Nagy thing don't work. This is why Eric Bieniemy's not getting any fucking interviews, because we all know Andy Reid calls plays in Kansas City. Them niggas don't call plays Andy Reid in Kansas City. And if he really did call the plays, I'm pretty sure Poles would have gave him an interview, considering he's worked with the organization for 13 years. The fact that his name didn't come up once tells me everything I need to know. So him being a part of the team and leading the team that scouted Patrick Mahomes is big to me. But I just really love how the Chiefs organization were so ecstatic about him getting the job. Andy Reid sent out a press release. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, he's been influential in all the guys we've been able to draft and things of that nature. And, you know, I feel like I like the right process with. Now, we don't know how these guys are going to turn up. You know what I'm saying? I liked the Matt Nagy hiring when it happened. I don't know. I think you did too. I don't remember if you did, but I know I liked the Matt Nagy hiring when it happened. I've never been a Ryan Pace guy. This is documented. He lost me the minute he traded Brandon Marshall. The minute he got hired in what, January 2015, he traded Brandon in March 2015. That pick ended up being Adrian Amos. Granted, Adrian Amos has been a solid safety. You know what I'm saying? He's been actually pretty good in Green Bay, but I'm a big Brandon Marshall guy, and I feel like we still, to this day, been looking for a wide receiver with Brandon Marshall's impact on the field. And just the year he had, the next, he had a great year. I think he had a career year with the Jets, his first year with the Jets. So he lost me off that. And then when he drafted Trubisky over Mahomes, and then Watson, I was done. So I was never really a Ryan Pace guy to begin with. I gave Matt Nagy a chance. And I smelled it his first year as a coach. I smelled it at the end of the season. But all of these picks, as far as Eberflus, I'm not going to sit up and act like I know much about him. I really don't. I know he's a defensive coach. I know his defenses in Indianapolis have been top 10. And I think the Bears have better personnel than they do. And also like, takeaways they had. The Bears need to get back to having takeaways. This is why this defense hasn't been that great. 2018, what was the reason that defense was top three? Pass rush and turnovers. We had 40 turnovers. I think we had 40 turnovers, and I think it was like 40 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. So
I think it was like 38. It was a bend but don't break defense.
Yeah, but they turned the ball over. The last couple of years, we haven't even been doing that. We haven't been getting to the quarterback, so that's going to help. Now, as far as the offensive thing, I see a lot of people upset. Why are you not pairing an offensive coach with Justin? I think having an offensive coach is overrated, and this is why I say that. Because it doesn't matter. Give me
look
a leader.
Look at Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, look at Lamar Jackson. Look
John
at
Harbaugh is not an offensive
John,
coach.
John Harbaugh is not an offensive coach. Also, Sean McDermott in Buffalo, not a defensive coach. Has Justin Herbert looked bad with the defensive coach this year? No, he didn't.
On top of that, John Harbaugh, he had never been a defensive or offensive coordinator. He's a special teams coordinator for the longest in Philadelphia, and then he was the defensive back coach, and then he just booted up to a head coach. It kind of goes to show you that the process for hiring a coach and making sure they're that person sometimes it's a flip of a coin.
It's like drafting a quarterback a lot of times.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I think a quarterback has a little bit more science going to it, whereas a coach, you can say, like Dan Quinn, yeah, he led the Legion of Boom. You also have to realize they had some of the greatest personnel ever assembled onto a team for him to be the coach. When he got to Atlanta, Atlanta's defense was not the Legion of Boom. I don't remember them being bad, but they were not the Legion of Boom.
They were a pretty good crew, but nobody's the Legion of Boom.
It goes to show you that the personnel goes hand in hand with the head coaching.
Can I tell you why I was high on Dan Quinn? Why I was high on Dan. No, I can't explain why I was high. Yeah, I'm going to explain any fucking way. This is why I was high on Denko. This is why he was initially my pick. And I was very high on Jim Caldwell, too. Probably the biggest issue with Jim Caldwell was his age. And I was really just trying to see what he bring in, like, with his offensive coordinator to kind of be like a successor if he decided to step down in a couple of years because of his age.
Yeah.
But I was high on Dan Quinn because I feel like everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody can sit up here and I understand.
That doesn't seem like a reason to be high.
Can I finish, nigga? I didn't finish.
Okay, bitch.
So he was 28-3. I understand everybody's bringing up 28-3. I get it. That was a once-in-a-lifetime collapse. Tom Brady did some Tom Brady shit. Now it was his first year as a coach. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable telling Shanahan, you need to run the fucking ball. We can blame that on Shanahan also about him not running the ball more than he is on Dan Quinn. And then we always know that Dan Quinn puts good staffs together. Now, even the
Dan after Quinn that, put a good staff together.
Can That's... I finish?
Okay, my fault.
Then you rebuttal. So Dan Quinn put together a good staff. Now, those staffs left and went and go get head coaching jobs, and he didn't get one back. That's a problem right there. But I also like how they rebounded the next year after they went to Super Bowl. They still made the playoffs, still made it to a divisional game, won a wild card game. I think that's something that shows, you know, some good, you know, fortitude right there. And I feel like there was a lot of rumors about him having a good staff that he could have brought here. So I'm saying I could have been sold on him. That's why I was high on him. And I feel like maybe he learned something from that, from those, you know, miscues he had in Atlanta. Now, you were down on him. Dante was really, really down on him. Dante was like, this nigga's trash. Stay away from him. Of course, he's watched him, you know, front center covering the Falcons for a little while. And, you know, he was bringing up all that. And y'all was talking about the collapses, why y'all didn't want him. So that's why I was high on Dan Quinn.
I was completely not high on him because of the 28-3. I'm never going to get over that. And I think the NFL, when it comes to coaching, it's a carousel. They literally just shuffle guys around. Vic Fangio did a shit job in Denver, and now he's getting considered.
Did he do a shit job, but he didn't have a quarterback?
Oh, we can't do that. He's been coached for like 3 years.
And he ain't had a quarterback in them 3 years.
I don't even give a shit, bro. His defense didn't look that great. And you had somebody. I thought Teddy Bridgewater is a solid enough QB if you get some people around him. None of that ever happened. I did not think he was a good coach at all. I think he's a fine defensive coordinator. You clearly know that, but I don't think he's a good head coach. And all of a sudden he goes from head coach to head coach again. The NFL shuffles people around. But when it came to Dan Quinn, we know what he did with the Legion of Boom so much that I think he left within like 2 years after he left for Atlanta within 2 years after they facilitated that historic Super Bowl run. But in terms of what I saw for him as a coach, I was like, well, you know, he was, because let me go over it specifically. He was defensive line coach at the Seahawks 2009. Then he went to Florida. Then he came back for a year. It was their defensive coordinator. Immediately moved to the head coaching position. And we know what the Falcons did in the Super Bowl. And that Super Bowl collapse always lingers in the back of my mind. It never left. I was like, God, man, how do you allow something like that? Especially as a defensive coach. Of course, he can assemble a great staff, but he assembled that staff one time. You know, I think we act as if he assembled multiple staffs, and this is something he does. As much as I got on Bill Polian for being old, Bill Polian has done it multiple times of assembling people and hiring the right people. And he will always have it going for him, even though I think he's a little bit older and the game has changed. Whereas Dan Quinn did it one time. And of course, the thing is, he's going to assemble a monster staff because you saw the likes of LaFleur, you saw the likes of Shanahan, and you're thinking, okay, he can produce that. And if a great coach has a solid coach has great people around him, of course, he's going to produce great results. But that sounds like promise more than anything. The Cowboys defense was another bend, don't break defense. Insane turnover machines. Thank you by the Trayvon Diggs and his ridiculous amount of interceptions. But I saw nothing from him defensively as a coordinator that made me think, you know, I really want him. You know what I'm saying? I saw a guy who was a solid coach. And if he would have came, it's not like I would have been upset. He's a solid coach who happened to have one of the greatest assembled rosters. And he did what he was supposed to do. He did what a solid coach would do. So it's not me saying he's a bad coach. It's just me saying none of those three dudes made me go, wow. The people who made me go, wow, were Matt Dabble and Brian Leftwich. Those are my picks. But since that didn't happen, out of the three, I was like, Jim Caldwell hasn't been around. Dan Quinn, I'm not that high on, but I do like Eberflus. I do like what he does with the lack of personnel. How much better will he play with better personnel? And also another draft in front of him. So, yeah, that's just my take on it. I was not high on Dan Quinn. And as much as we can say everybody deserves a second chance, I do. And I think next year, that's when he'll probably have that second chance as a head coach again.
I think we know what he's waiting for. I think that Jerry gave him, give McCarthy 1 year, and this nigga stinks, it's your job.
That would be hilarious.
And then also, if he doesn't, he's going to be a hot ticket next year anyway. regardless. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I think just with this whole thing, and with the second chance I was talking about, like Pete Carroll was ass in his first stint as a head coach.
And you know Dan Quinn was there for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and he had 2 playoff berths.
And a lot of that was because Arthur Blank and them didn't bring back a lot of them skill guys.
8-8, 11-5, 10-6, 7-9, 7-9, 4-12, and then he left.
So, I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, all this is wait and see. Now, the rumors are right now, I want to see who the staff is. Albert Breer was just on Colin Cowherd, and Albert Breer has been pretty spot on this whole Bears GM coaching search.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the rumor is that Aberflus is going to be looking into the Shanahan tree for offensive coordinator, and that's also one name that Ian Rapoport said to look out for is his name from the Eagles camp. I think the Eagles passing coordinator is a guy he said to look out for. I'm trying to find his name right here. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Okay. So with the Bears having finalized the deal with Matt Eberflus, what's next for Justin Fields is a big question. Eagles passing game coordinator Kevin Petullo is a name to watch out for new OC. So you got that. You also got Breer saying they're going to look into the Shanahan tree. All this is wait and see. I know Bears fans are frustrated. We're all frustrated. We want this team to be good. But we got to be – we're not going to know. People who are high on this hiring, they don't really fucking know. People who are low on this hiring, they don't fucking know. We're not going to know to at least 3 years, I feel, to know what the situation is. And as of right now, there's two things. You can either complain or you can trust in the guy. And I seen Ryan Poles was, from what I saw, majority of Bears Twitter loved that signing yesterday. So a lot of people happy about it. So if you were that happy about the signing, let the nigga do his job. Let him do his job.
Literally let the nigga do his job.
You know what I'm saying? Let him do his job. And I'm giving Poles a clean slate. I will give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves me wrong. I did the same thing with the Bulls. And they have not proven me wrong yet. So they have even more cachet with me. Until he fucks up, until he gives me a reason to fuck up, I'm like, okay, I trust your vision. And everything like that. The thing that I'm most sold on is that it was his hiring and the fact that he put in his contract. And this is what I was telling people when they were mad about, well, what Poles got hired. Why are those three the only candidates? I'm like, Poles was not just a guy who just the Bears were interviewing. He was a finalist for 3 to 4 jobs. So mm-hmm. He had leverage. So you really trying to tell me that he sat down and said, oh, okay, you can pick the coach? No, I knew for a fact, even before Cap confirmed it this morning, that it was in the contract, that he went to them and said, yo, I need to have 100% control. It would make no sense. He would went somewhere else if he didn't have that. So I have faith in knowing that this was his decision, and I can live with that. Now, my question for you is, what do you feel about the whole process? You know, last time we recorded was on the 10th, which is almost 3 weeks ago now, when Ryan and Matt 1.0 were fired, and we had ours. And it's been a long, drawn-out process. Some people were irritated because it was taking too long. What do you feel about how the process went and how Bill Polian was involved in it? Do you actually like how it went down?
From right now, it seems like it was a really solid process. I don't know the intricacies of the board, the Bill Polian, George McCaskey, Ted Phillips, Sue Campbell, and Tanisha Wade. I do not know how much collaboration went into it. But I do like the fact that they took serious looks at candidates. You know, I can say, well, the fact that they had multiple interviews means they were doing their due diligence, but deductively, that's not a necessity. It's not a necessity deductively that says because they did that, therefore this. So I won't say that because they did it, that means they did. However, I will say, I think that because they had went after not only a hot coaching candidate, but candidate who really has shown that he is a rising star, done his due diligence as a college director of college scouting. And I mean, he really rose quickly. And as a GM, I think the majority of your job is college scouting. Of course, there is, you know, evaluating the head coach, dealing with contracts, and making sure you hire some free agents. But look how many players you go through in a draft every single year. You're guaranteed, if unless you trade up some picks, to have at least seven players looked at as a draft. And if the pick, and if you don't have seven players, those picks are traded for another person. And so that's such a huge chunk of your job right there. And the fact that he did such a solid job of college scouting, rose through the ranks because he did such a solid job, makes me happy. Ryan Pace, during his tenure here, the only reason I was truly high on him was because, and I didn't mind the hiring either, but the only reason I was truly high on him because he came from that Saints tree. You know, he was a scouting assistant, director of scouting, player personnel for a year. And I thought, okay, he must know what he was doing. But throughout that time, I can't say that I saw, if I look at it, of course, with hindsight. Hindsight's always 20/20. But I try my best now with the Ryan Pohl situation to make sure I'm looking at my blind spots. But with him as the Saints, it's not that he did a bad job of scouting and being a player personnel, but I don't think he had as much hands-on experience doing what Ryan Pohl has did and going over these potential players from colleges. Whereas Ryan Pohl directly oversaw that, and his job was to find out these players. And I'm going to assume had such an integral part in finding the gem of Patrick Mahomes, arguably the best QB in the game. And I mean, and look who else they got. They pick up a new person every year who does an incredible job, who are incredible skill players. And bringing that level of understanding of the college game that translates to the professional game is something that the Bears sorely need. The only thing I ever gave Ryan Pace credit for was like the third and fifth rounds. And that's fine. But if you can't hit on the first and second, that's a huge problem. So I want, and I think, and I will give Ryan Pohl, the benefit of the doubts. And I think it's a fantastic pickup. So if I believe that he is a fantastic pickup, I'm hoping I can extend that same level of that olive branch and say, okay, you got a clean slate. Let's see. Eberflus, I thought, is a solid coach. But when it comes to hiring a coach, man, it's more than record.
Yeah.
It goes more than simply saying, oh, he did this, he did that. Sometimes that don't mean nothing. You know, John Fox was coming off of a Super Bowl berth as the coach with Denver. Super Bowl berth when he was the coach of Carolina. He was an awful coach in Chicago.
And they had a record-setting offense.
Record-setting offense. And he was an awful coach here. It's really such a – as much as I hate the word collaboration when Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy used to use it, it is truly about the collaboration of the coach, his coaches, and the general manager. How well can you all come together and say, this is who we want, this is who we want? And unlike Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and unlike Ryan Pace and John Fox, everybody came in under the same guise of the same person, Ryan Pohl. And so now that you all are together, and once the contract gets signed, it's time to go to work. You know what I'm saying? While we will be sitting here on our podcast talking about what's going to do this, and the next person on their podcast saying, how is this going to work? It's time for them to go to work. A draft is coming up. You need offensive linemen. Free agency is coming up. You need skill players. You need defensive backs. It's time to go to work. And also, you need to get some new linebackers. Because if you're going to a 4-3, personnel is going to change.
I think Roquan needs a running mate, and Jalen needs a running mate. I was watching.
And we're going to find out, what is Roquan? Is he going to be the Mike linebacker in a 4-3? Is that his role? Because Darius Leonard is the outside linebacker, and Roquan Smith is 3-4. A 3-4 is a little bit different in the roles of the linebackers, whereas that upright 4-3, the Mike linebacker has a little bit more of has a different responsibility. So this will be Roquan's first tenure as a 4-3 linebacker. And I don't know if they will just keep him outside and make him the Mike inside linebacker. I don't know. It's interesting. And I don't know. Maybe Eberflus decides to go to 3-4. I highly doubt it, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm with you. As far as the process is concerned, I'd have a problem with it. You know, we all made Bill Polian old jokes, and we'll find out if this process worked. We'll know it was his 2022 season. We'll know by the 2025, beginning of 2025 season, whether this is successful or not. I'm going to give him 3 years. And this is why I'm going to give him 3 years. First year, even if it's bad, you always get a first year. Ryan Pace won executive of the year. Matt Nagy won coach of the year in 2018. We thought the golden era of Chicago Bears football began, and it was mediocrity from the moment that fucking kick did the double doink. It was a mediocrity from then on. So you can't get high and you can't get too low off of first year. You need to give them time. I'm going to give them 3 seasons. I will give them 3 seasons to show me what they're doing. So, but as far as the process on paper, I didn't have a problem with it. I like how they thought this out. They didn't rush to a decision. And they got their guy. And it's also good to beat the Vikings twice. This is the second time we beat the Vikings. Vikings wanted Justin Fields and we got him. You know, and then Vikings wanted Ryan Poles and we got him. And you can just see from their fan base acting like, you know, they didn't want him. But that
let's go through our calls.
Hold on, hold on. Let me finish this.
I heard enough.
Nigga, you got yours off and get mine off. So I'm happy with that. And the number one thing that I was just happy with is they said that one of the main decisions from Poles to keep him to go to Chicago or Minnesota was Justin Fields over Kirk Cousins, which should be a no fucking brainer. So it's not a sexy pick. It's not who I thought, but it's time to go to work. Like you said, it's time to go to work and we'll see what happens. We got free agency coming up about a month. So it's going to be some decisions there, man. So
I'm not sure there's any free agency picks that I'm like overly excited about.
I mean, I don't really know. I don't even know who's on the list, but I'm just saying like the Bears have a lot of holes. The Bears have a decent amount of cap room coming up and we'll see. And, you know, I also feel like Aaron Rodgers' decision is going to factor a lot in what happens. Not saying it's going to change the way the Bears move. I don't think it's going to change the way the Bears move, but I do think that if he leaves, like I'm expecting him to leave. I don't know about you. I didn't hear what y'all said on 2 Minute Drill about it. But like I said, I'm not going to hold you. I think one or two things is going to happen over the next month. Aaron Rodgers is either going to, because Rodgers said on McAfee that he's going to make his decision before free agency, and he's going to make a decision before Devontae's future. So, like, if he decides to leave, he wants to make that decision so Devontae knows what he's doing long term. So, I expect over the next month, he's either going to retire or Gutekunst are going to agree to trade him. Because he says he has a great relationship with the front office now, which is much different than a year from now. And he said that whatever decision is going to be, there won't be any beef on it. So I think that's one of the two. He's retired or they're like, okay, I want to get out. And also, what a lot of people aren't understanding, the Packers might want him gone too, just for this reason right here. Jordan Love is in his third season, entering his third season. So they have to decide if they're going to pick up his rookie option. So you need to know whether he's ass or good, what you have in him. So you don't want to waste a draft pick that fucking high. So I don't think he's going to retire. My educated guess is they're going to come together. They're going to sit down. They're going to agree to find a trade to a place that he wants to go. Now, Nathaniel Hackett, who is the Packers offensive coordinator, is new head coach in Denver. They're looking for a quarterback there. Also, Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend is from Colorado. So I think he'll be in the AFC. So, and if he's gone, that speeds the process up because now all you got to compete with is really Minnesota.
Yeah.
So how many voicemails we got?
Only 3 because everybody is cowards.
Yeah, of course.
But
if we'd have hired fucking, I don't know, nigga, John Fox again, we'd have 30 fucking voicemails.
All right, here it is.
Hey, man, I'm Gregory calling from Virginia, but I'm from Chicago. I've been a Bears fan my whole life, and I am excited about this Matt Eberflus, or Eberflus, however you pronounce his name. I'm excited about this hire. Reason being is because I read an article on The Athletic by Adam Johns, and he talked about his personality and how he conducted defense. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's all about hustle, which is going to be great for the young core that we have for our team, but more importantly, the defense. I'm a little nervous about Eddie Jackson because he may be out the way. He can't get on board with Matt Eberflus once as far as hustle plays the defense. But I do like his hire. And another reason why I like it is because it was strictly by Ryan Poles. It was all him. So that's another good thing. He's gotten his hire. So I'm excited, man. Bye.
Good call. I like that one. I don't think those are all solid points about what he was saying about as far as Eberflus. I feel like, you know, I think a lot of people, or at least reasonable people, because Bears fans aren't really reasonable, but reasonable people are like, you know, it's a decent hire. And one thing that I liked, I had a Colts fan tweet me today. I said, I don't know much about Eberflus. I'm not going to act like I do. We just got to see what's going to happen. And this guy, his name is at Samson Gray on Twitter. He put, Colts fan here, Eberflus is the reason the defense will fly to the ball. And I asked him, what did you think about him overall? He said, really good coordinator for the time he spent in Indy. Knew how to get guys in good situation. Scheme-wise, they can make plays. The only knock on him is that sometimes, instead of making late adjustments his game plan to his game plan, he would stick to it through and through. Which I think all coaches, to an extent, kind of, you know, stick to their guns. We saw a lot of overthinking this past weekend in a lot of these divisional games, man. So, none of this shit is perfect. None of this shit is going to be, you know, I don't think there's any hire out there that the Bears could have made that would have been, you know, a grand slam to this fan base. Maybe the Harbaugh would have been the closest, but like me and you said on this podcast, fucking want John Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh. I'll be forgetting which one is which. Just Jim, right? Yeah, John is in Baltimore. Jim Harbaugh. You know, I'm just willing to see, man. So I like that call.
Yeah, I do like that it was Ryan Poles' decision. That was most important.
That's all I want to know.
If I would have found out that it was George McCaskey's decision, I'd have been pissed.
Because a lot of people, like Ryan Pace, wanted to hire Dan Quinn originally. Like Dan Quinn got hired by the Falcons because the McCaskeys told him, no, we want John Fox. You're a little young. We want to pair you up with an old nigga. And that pretty much, you know, handicapped Ryan from the jump.
Yeah.
And just one thing for you, that Rich Eisen said this on the show the other night, was kind of funny. He said, how fucked up would it be? We didn't say fucked up. How fucked up would it be if Justin Fields blow, like, becomes great and Ryan Pace, like, I'm the motherfucker that drafted him. I'm like, well, nigga, you owe that to Bears fans for not giving us Mahomes.
That's true. Next, let's call.
Yo, this is Chris J. I'm not mad at the head coach. I can't pronounce buddy's name, Matt Eberflus, or whatever the fuck his name is. Buddy from the Colts. I ain't mad at. Colts defense is solid. Colts organization past few years has been solid. I have really no complaints. My main thing is, who the hell is going to be the offensive coordinator? Because I just want somebody who's going to look out for my boy, R.C. Justin Fields. That's all that matters. I'm all for my boy Poles out here doing his stuff. This is like a GM position. I'm all for it. Whatever happens. I'm trusting the process. Regardless, trust the process should be the move for Bears Nation as a whole.
Should we name this episode Trust the Process 2.0? That was the name of our first ever episode.
Trust the process 2.0.
I don't want to put that bad mojo. I'm calling this episode Matt and Ryan.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as bad mojo. It doesn't exist. Putting shit in the air doesn't exist. We're going Trust the Process 2.0. And the next 5 years, if it changes again, Trust the Process 3.0. We're going to keep doing it. All right. Next call. Last call.
Hey, this is Cole Tamari. I was the one who asked that stupid-ass Justin Fields question a couple weeks ago at Cole Tamari on Twitter. Listen, about the new Eberflus hire, I'm not mad at it. And honestly, I don't fully understand why all Bears fans are bitching. I think some of it is what Scott would call Bears PTSD. But I think we all just really need to stop and withhold judgment until we see who he hires as an offensive coordinator. What are his plans to develop Mitch? Or Justin, Jesus, I'm sorry. That's right. Anyway, I think the one big positive we could take out of this is if he's a defensive guy, he's probably going to be more predicated to run the football. And it's something that Scott said a while back. We really need whatever the new coach decides to do, the offense has to run through David Montgomery. And I think Eberflus, being a defensive guy, he's going to want to play more physical. And I think they're going to want to run the offense more through David Montgomery, which I think will yield better results moving forward. I think it's a really good sign that Poles is able to hire his own man. And I guess we all just really need to stop and wait and see. Great coverage as always, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Shout out to you, man. Definitely one of the dope people to interact with on Twitter, man. It was a good call right there. One thing I'm glad he brought up what I said about Dave Montgomery, because I had somebody debate me on this on the 79th page during the weekend. And it was like, well, this is 2022. You need a quarterback. I'm not saying that we're not building around Justin. I'm saying that the offense should go through David Montgomery. When your offense moves better, it's because the run opens up the pass. If you have a good running game and you can make the play action as easy, it makes you actually respect the pass. Why did the Bengals beat the Titans? Yeah, Joe Burrow was great, but Joe Mixon was making that game easier for motherfucking Joe Burrow? What was the main reason that the Chiefs struggled all this year? They didn't have a fucking running game. And Dave Montgomery, I feel, I don't know how you feel, but I think he's a top five back in the league right now. I feel like he's very underutilized. I don't feel like Matt Nagy knew how to use him at all. So what I'm saying is he should be the focal point. That's not saying that, oh, I'm not taking the ball out of Justin's hand. No, he's still, the offense is built around Justin, but it should go through David Montgomery. Use him. And that's going to help the offense.
I'm one of the people who say the offense should not go through David Montgomery. It should go through Justin Fields. And I guess, literally speaking, the offense will always go through the quarterback. But I take it as, I like the Dak and Zeke element. Zeke's first year here, the offense 100% ran through him. Dude racked up like 1,600 yards rushing and like 16 touchdowns, something crazy like that. But as time goes on, the ball has been put in Dak's hands more. And the offense, I think, has improved with Dak being the person everything runs through. You're going to predicate on the pass first, and then we'll go run. Or you're going to switch it up and have a game that's dominated by the run. It's just really about the ebb and flow.
Is that
of
more
the
because
game.
Zeke fell off?
Zeke's a 1,000-yard rusher. I
mean 1,000 yards, is that too much? Not a lot for running backs anymore?
Man. I mean, running backs aren't even rushing for 1,000 yards anymore.
What did Damian
It's running back committee now.
Damian
it's running back
saying about Zeke, he's fat.
it's running back by committee now with most teams. He's a 1,000-yard rusher, 4.3 average on the ground, 10 touchdowns last year, 300 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns catching.
Yeah,
he's,
10 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he's still a very good back. Last year it was, I guess the year you can say that he fell off with the year before, 1,300, year before, 1,400. This was a bounce-back season. This is a bounce-back season, and they didn't even use him that much. This was the least amount of carries he's had his entire career, yet he still managed to get over 1,000 yards. So, no, I think he's still, of course, he's a Bucker. I'm biased. But I still think he's a good a player, a good back. And I think that's what David Montgomery needs to do. David Montgomery this year, I don't know. Of course, he missed several games. I don't know what his stats were. He rushed for 849 yards, 225 carries. His least amount of carries last year was only had 20 more. And 20 more, maybe he breaks a 1,000-yard barrier. But, of course, he was injured. We know that. And also his receptions, 42 receptions, 301 yards. He is a very good back, and I think the Bears have something special with him, but I do not think the offense should run through him. I think the offense should run through Justin Fields. But what Coach Amari said is 100% the biggest thing. Who will be the offensive coordinator? When the Bears announced the press conference, which if it's not tomorrow, it's going to be Monday.
And I want to do a recap pod on that, just a quick talk about how we went over and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if it is on – whatever it is, I'll
in
be
person,
ready for
right?
Yeah. Okay. And whatever it is, I'll be ready. But my questions will be predicated around what came to the hire, what are you looking for in an offensive coordinator, and how important is it to get Justin Fields to that next step? Justin Fields is your franchise right yes. now. You know, of course he has to show and prove if he's the guy, but he is your franchise. And everything needs to go around. Are you going to put all the stock into him? And that's why some people like Jim Caldwell, because reports were Jim Caldwell really likes Justin Fields and wants Justin Fields to take it to the next level. And so maybe, hey, tell Jim Caldwell you want to be offensive coordinator.
That's
you ain't coached. You ain't coached in a while. Come do that. But on the flip side, keep Lovie and Rod Marinelli away from this team.
I'll say this. I wouldn't have a problem with Rod Marinelli being D-line coach. He's a
D-line
yeah. coach.
Yeah.
Defensive coordinator? Absolutely not. I think Sean Desai's job is very much in limbo right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think it's in limbo, especially if they're gonna be switching to a new defense. I think he might be out of there.
I think whatever team picks him up is gonna get a young upstart coach. I think he'll do fine.
Well, there's rumor, you know, Denver likes taking niggas from us. There's room by him in Denver. But I do think that I keep Lovie Smith in Houston. If you're bringing Marinelli and make him D-line coach, I have no problem being D-line coach, but as defensive coordinator, absolutely not. I'm just what I want to see from this press conference, of course, you'll be in it. I'll be watching on the stream like anybody else. But what I want to hear, like you said, Justin Fields, it's all that fucking matters in this franchise.
All I care about.
Justin fucking Fields. I want to hear Ryan Poles playing for Justin Fields. I want him Eberflus playing for Justin Fields. I need to be hearing that the whole fucking press. Sell me on your plan for Justin Fields. And if I like what I hear, that's going to make me even more confident about it. So that's what I'm excited to hear about it. I don't want to hear the less I hear from George, the better. And I know a lot of people was making fun of him meeting him at O'Hare. But honestly, I don't think it was nothing wrong with that. It was actually kind of cool. I think that he cared enough. How many owners would actually go wait to pick up a potential person they're hiring? And it was just funny because he looked like a dork, but
here's my thing with George. I've only spoken to him maybe three times in my entire time covering the Bears personally. My whole thought was him. I think he was a fine person and he just doesn't know football. So he just doesn't know football, but I like the fact his talk about minorities. He said, you know, minorities deserve the same opportunities. He backed it up. I was like, okay.
Even with his crew he put together.
You backed it up with your crew. You backed it up with your GM decision. Okay. I like it. You talk.
And they interviewed a lot. They interviewed way more black candidates than they did white candidates.
You know, he is on the diversity board of the NFL. You said it correctly. You did it. I am perfectly fine with that. I respect him for making that decision. And him personally going to the airport, I'm not going to make too much of it, but that it's a human interaction. You know, if I'm being offered a job in Houston and as a, I don't know, a resident theologian, because that's what I do, resident theologian, and the president of the university comes and picks me up from the airport, I would feel such a personal touch. And I'd be like, wow, okay. This is not the freaking people at the alumni office or the welcoming committee. It's the actual president. So you have the owner, the head of the Bears, and also his mother just happens to be the daughter of the founder of the team coming to pick you up. I thought that was dope. I don't know who was at the airport picking that up. I wonder if somebody randomly said, oh shit, that's George McCaskey.
There's somebody who worked it over here. And then also This one person also, and this came out before the Everplus hiring, which makes sense now. He said that he was on a flight with Dan Quinn at 7 p.m. last night. He was going back to Dallas. So that makes more sense now. He called in the cab This morning. So, you know, that's basically what I want to see.
But it's like I said, I still think he doesn't know what the hell he's doing with football. I think him and Ted know how to run a business. The Bears are a 100% valuable franchise. And I think Ted Phillips heading the Arlington Project is a fantastic move. Like I said, take Ted Phillips away from football, but let him run the Arlington move. And I think him and Ted will build a fantastic stadium. Would please let it happen immediately. Get them a hell away from it. I don't even care anymore about it being in Chicago. But yeah, man, trust the process 2.0. I don't care, nigga. All right. Trust the process 2.0. It's time to make moves. It's time to put up a shut up. You know what I'm saying? I think before the press conference, I'm going to just compile a list of offensive coordinators and things, unless we hear in the next 24 hours, which I highly doubt. But I think
they're going to sit on it for a minute. I don't think we're going to have a crew yet. After the press conference, he'll evaluate what he's going to do next.
Yeah, now it's time to go to work. So,
overall thoughts, I'm pleased. I like the process. I like how it went. Smooth process. I think these are both promising hires. And if anybody want to get like an idea of Everfluss like personality, I would advise you to watch Hard Knocks in Indianapolis Colts. You see a lot of him on there, his interaction with the defense. So if you want to get a little idea, you know what kind of guy he is, you know, I would watch that. But I'm pleased. I'm cautiously optimistic for the Chicago Bears future going forward. And we even saw last night at the Bulls game, like, just how much this city loves Justin Fields already. And this is just coming off his rookie year. You know, I love seeing the jersey swap between him and DeMar and Zach. You can see he was way more geeked to meet Zach than he was DeMar. I don't know if you saw the video of him in the back with Zach. And that nigga was cheesing like a motherfucker. And he was like, oh yeah, bro, we got to get you to a game, bro. We got to get you to a game. He looked like he didn't really say much when he was around DeMar. But that was kind of funny to see. But yeah, man, we won't see how it go. Joe will be at the press conference, and then we'll do a recap pod about how that press conference went. Then you won't hear from us niggas until after free agency. So trust the process 2.0. Here we are, 7 years later, getting ready for season 8 of this podcast.
Maybe we'll actually have success this time.
Maybe.
Anywho, this was Flo Scott. We will see you all after the press conference.
Yes, sir.